How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst, Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan, I wanted to mention up top, I wanted to give listeners a heads up that there probably will not be a podcast episode tomorrow, but we are planning to be back on Thursday, so just be aware of that. All right, let's get into it. San Diego Comic-Con happened this past weekend, and there's a bunch of news out of there that we're going to talk about. Obviously, there's like some major, major Marvel stuff that we're going to talk about probably in the back half of this episode. But before we get to like the big, big stuff, I wanted to mention a few things that people might find interesting. I know I have not seen any of The Boys, the Amazon Prime Video series. I know that you are not a big TV watcher in general, Ryan, but this is a superhero show. So has The Boys crossed your path at all? Have you watched any of the show?
It's come close at various times when I've been sort of doom scrolling around streaming, but it's still, I just still haven't pulled the trigger on it. And I don't know that I will, but because I think what inevitably happens, and I think part of the reason I don't end up doing more TV shows is like, I'll think about it the first two or three seasons when someone's like, oh my God, it's so great. And then inevitably, like, it'll get later in its run and people start getting soft on it. And I'm like, well, why bother now? You know, like, and I felt like the last season of The Boys, people started getting a little more tepid. So I think I might have crossed that point of maybe not doing it, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, for people who are interested in the world of The Boys, a new spinoff called Vought Rising was announced. That's a murder mystery set in the 1950s. Two big actors from the show are going to be coming back to reprise their roles. So you can check that out. That'll have a lot more details from somebody who actually watches the show, who wrote the article in the show notes. Ryan and I are not best equipped to talk about that in more detail than what we already have here. I did want to mention the Creature Commandos trailer on the DC front. Actually, there was a new trailer for The Penguin, which is coming to Max sometime pretty soon. I think you and I were talking about this a little bit before. I didn't watch this trailer because I'm already in. Like, I'm interested in the world of what Matt Reeves has created for this world of the Batman and this Colin Farrell fronted penguin centric show. So I just didn't watch the trailer because I don't need any of the show spoiled for me because I'm already going to watch it. But have you seen this trailer yet?
I haven't watched this trailer, but I've watched the other ones and it looks, again, not to be that guy, but I'm probably not going to watch this. Like,
but okay, fair enough.
It does look good, but but yeah, like I might, I don't know. I was Mr. Unpopular around these parts for a little bit because I also wasn't like as wowed by the Batman as everybody else was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think like delving into a spinoff, but I will say the stuff that worked for me in the Batman was like the villain seedy crime stuff. Like I loved Carmine Falcone in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I'll get sucked into this, but I will say the show looks good. It looks really, really good. So I might get sucked in here.
Okay. Well, yeah, check that out. I think we wrote about that at Slash Film as well. Let's talk about Creature Commandos. We did not write about this one officially, but, this is technically the first project in James Gunn and Peter Safran's new DC universe. This is coming
technically,
out.
Yes.
Yeah. It's coming out. Let's see. When was it coming out?
December, I believe they said.
Right, yeah, they didn't put a specific date on it, but yes, December of 2024, and it's an animated series, and it's basically like a version of the Suicide Squad, but kind of like, not supernatural, but monstrous, like monster characters. So you've got like The Bride and Dr. Phosphorus and Weasel from the Suicide Squad movies, a character called G.I. Robot, and Nina Mazursky, and literally Frankenstein is a member of this team. And you've got Viola Davis coming back as Amanda Waller to reprise her role. Rick Flagg is in this as well. So what did you make of this trailer, Ryan?
I think it looks fun. It's Rick Flagg Sr., by the way. So it's Rick Flagg's dad. And this is also going to start an interesting trend that James Gunn promised with the DC Universe stuff is that what James Gunn had said previously is that the actors that play, like, let's say they voice a character, they are going to then play that same character in live action if they can. So Rick Flagg Sr. is being played by Frank Grillo here. He's voicing the character, but they've also already confirmed that he is also going to play the live action version of the character in Peacemaker season 2. So that's kind of so you're going to get your first dose of that here, which is kind of interesting. But I thought it looked fun. This looks up my alley. Now this is something I will almost certainly watch. I'm a gigantic fan of the Suicide Squad Gunn's movie, and this looks cut from the same cloth to me. And I think this is something that's absolutely going to suck me in.
Do you think, I'm curious why that is, Ryan. Is it because you're getting it on the ground floor and you know that there's not that sense of softness to the project that could come later on that you mentioned as being like a deterrent to some of the other stuff?
There's something about animation that like sucks me in. Like even the stuff I do watch a lot of the time, it's like I know it's very different, but I watch like, you know, The Simpsons, Rick and Morty, like Family Guy, like that sort of stuff. And I think there's something like there's a lot of times like a lower investment level for animated stuff. And a lot of times it is still sort of episodic, which is one of the things I like about like certain TV shows. It's one of the things I liked about the first two seasons of The Mandalorian, particularly, where they still made good use of what I felt was the episodic format of television. And I think a lot of TV now is very much like, even if it attempts to be episodic, it falls victim to we're telling a movie-esque story over the course of 10 episodes, and that's never worked super well for me. So I think maybe that's part of it, is that it feels like a, you know, and also like it's I loved the Suicide Squad. So like this feels like a spinoff of that, whereas like I was a little soft on the Batman. So like a show spinoff of that feels like less easy to get me in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So for sure.
Okay. What about you? How did you feel? What did you have any feelings like watching it? Like, did you have any investment in this? Like, I don't even know what you thought of the Suicide Squad, so I have no idea where you're at with this.
I liked the Suicide Squad quite a bit. I don't know. I'm a little torn on whether or not I'm going to invest a bunch of time into an animated show that like may or may not mean anything in the long run. I'm kind of like to the point where I don't really have a ton of free time, so I have to be really careful and like pick and choose my slots for what shows I'm going to get invested in. And I just don't know if this one's going to like meet that personal bar for me. But if I hear it's fantastic or something, then maybe I'll give it a shot. But I'm kind of in like wait and see mode for this one right now.
Yeah, I have the same problem where like my time is so limited, particularly right now because I'm in the like backstretch of training for my marathon. So like my free time is so limited. And yeah, that does make TV hard, I will say.
Yeah. A couple other trailers I wanted to mention, or actually just one other trailer I wanted to mention real quick, is The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power Season 2 debuted a trailer that I think is 3 minutes and 40 seconds long. It's like pretty long.
It's super long.
Yeah. But I think this looks amazing. I'm so psyched about the return of the show. I know that I feel like the general consensus was that season one of the show was not good, and I could not disagree more. I loved the first season of the show. I thought it did a fantastic job at capturing that Tolkien vibe, and I'm super amped for season two, and I thought this trailer looked fantastic. I actually stopped watching it like I don't know, 30 seconds or a minute in or something, because I was like, yep, I'm good. I've seen what I need to see.
It's funny how you and I do the same thing, because I do that same thing. If I can afford to do it in this line of work, like if I don't have to watch a thing because I just know I'm going to watch it anyway, like I did that with the last Alien Romulus trailer, where I was like, I don't have to watch this, I'm not watching it, because I just know I'm in the bag.
Yeah, I haven't seen an Alien Romulus trailer since the teaser, because same thing. Like, yeah, exactly.
Hey, can I ask a on topic but slightly off topic question?
Of course.
So look, I watched the first episode of Rings of Power because I'm not a big fantasy guy, but I love Lord of the Rings movies. And I watched the first episode and I felt like I liked it, and then I just didn't follow up with it. If I liked that first episode, is this something I would maybe do well to go back and like try to get back into, or like, you know, what are your feelings there?
Yeah, I think so. I probably will be writing an article about this soon, but and I know that you don't really watch any of the Game of Thrones stuff. You haven't seen House of the Dragon or anything, but like there's something about the way that season two of House of the Dragon is playing out where I'm not really on board with that either. After I think there's one episode left, and I've seen all 7 episodes of season 2 so far, and there's just something about it that feels almost like cosplay or something. Like it feels like characters getting together, or actors getting together and playing make-believe in a world that it almost feels like a fan film. Maybe that's the best way to say it. And Rings of Power to me feels so tactile, and the production design is incredible, and the costuming is great. Like every aspect of it just feels authentic in a way that it feels so tied to what Peter Jackson was doing with that original trilogy, and like very much has that same DNA in it. Whereas House of the Dragon just feels like a completely separate thing to me that like pales in comparison to what came before. And Rings of Power to me complements what came before and feels almost like very much in the same vibe, the same family as what came before. So if you like those first Lord of the Rings movies, I would encourage people to check it out. I'm guessing a lot of people probably got turned away or sort of turned off rather by the reactions and stuff that they may have seen online for about Rings of Power. But I think, especially because the second season is coming up at the end of August, I think you've got enough time. I think it's only 8 episodes or something like that for season 1. So I would say do what you can to catch up, because I found it a really, really rewarding experience.
Okay, yeah, that's a good sell. Can I bring up one quick thing before we move on? I'm so sorry, I know we're already running
long.
Did you see the DC Studios logo that they unveiled?
I did. What'd you think about it?
I liked it. I liked that they went back to the Milton Glaser logo. I thought it looks less generic than like some of the like the newer like the DC Studios, or I guess the DCEU logo, just the circle in the like generic blue, dark blue DC. I like it. It's got some flair to it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like kind of unflashy in a way. So
yeah.
I appreciate that about it, I guess. Like they're just kind of going back to basics, but
it makes me picture like a comic on a spinner rack. You know what I mean? Like it makes me feel that like that it's not like ashamed of being like what it is. I like that.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, check out the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power season 2 trailer. We actually have a really detailed trailer breakdown of that. So I'm going to link to that in the show.
I'm guessing,
well,
was that Jeremy that wrote that?
It wasn't. We have a new writer who's like a Lord of the Rings expert, who is going to be coming over, and I think he writes for Looper sometimes as well, but is going to be doing like a lot of Lord of the Rings coverage for us for season 2. So keep an eye out for that. Okay, let's talk about the Marvel stuff, because that's the big thing I think that was dominating a big part of the conversation after Comic-Con. Captain America 4 debuted some new footage there, and there wasn't really a ton to talk about, except that Giancarlo Esposito confirmed that he's playing a character named Sidewinder, who is the king of the Serpent Society. I don't really know anything about that, Ryan. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have like a huge backlog of knowledge of Captain America comics or anything about the only reason that I recognize the name Serpent Society is because in 2014, Kevin Feige took the stage at the in Hollywood, and he was going to be laying out, I think it was phase 3 of the MCU, and he basically pranked the fans who were in attendance there by announcing that Captain America 3 would be titled Captain America Serpent Society. And then by the end of that presentation, he basically was just like, just kidding, it's actually going to be Civil War kind of thing. So interim time between when the prank was serious or thought to be serious and when it was unveiled as an actual prank, I remember people like scrambling to be like, what the hell is Serpent Society? What's going on? So now that that group, I guess, is actually going to be incorporated into a Captain America movie for real. So we have an article about that. You can check out more from somebody who knows what they're talking about on that stuff. I did want to ask you about the adamantium thing, because so why don't you lay this out for me? What did we learn here about the suggested origin, I guess, of adamantium and how it ties into what we've seen in the MCU already?
Well, for those who might not know, part of the reason that like Cap's shield, for example, was made of vibranium, and you know, it was like because adamantium was specifically linked with the X-Men, and when the MCU was coming together, the X-Men and all the rights to all those things were still tied up at Fox. So like the MCU couldn't actually use adamantium, which was kind of weird. Now let's talk about Eternals for a second. There is a giant celestial god half emerged from the ocean that is yet to be addressed in like 3 years since that happened in Eternals. Well, that's finally going to be addressed in Captain America 4. And so this rumor speculation had been emerging that Tiamat, this celestial, was going to be the source of adamantium in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, that has been essentially confirmed during the panel. So that's pretty cool. Like I actually like that as a way to like creatively sort of, you know, because then the idea is that there's, you know, it's like any resource in, you know, human history, like there's a land grab for it, right? Like people are going to be clamoring for a precious resource. So I sort of like that. I like taking this insane, like otherworldly crazy thing and making it like part of an espionage thriller a la Winter Soldier, like taking the most ungrounded thing in the MCU maybe to date and like making it a central plot point in a very grounded movie. Like, I think that's kind of a cool idea. Like, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's like my take is that's kind of a fun, cool, like twist on it.
Yeah, very much agree. I think by just leaving that out there, like it kind of is such a big thing that you have to address it in some way. So I feel like it's a smart move to address it in such a way where it isn't, it's no longer just this huge idea and this kind of like philosophical question of like, or existential question even for the residents of Earth 616, kind of like, what the hell do we even do with this thing? It's breaking it down now into its component parts and turning it into an asset or like a something of great importance that characters might actually care about. So it makes you, the audience, invest in that as a subplot rather than just being like, isn't it weird that they haven't talked about this giant freaking thing that's out in the middle of the ocean, you know? So
yeah, well, because I imagine there's probably some big military presence there, and I get my somewhat, it's not that nerdy, but it's a little nerdy, is like, how the hell are they going to break apart a thing made of adamantium? Like, that's my like, how are they going to explain like how you actually break apart a thing that is made of adamantium? Like, that'll be interesting to sort of see.
Didn't we see that in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, weren't they like doing vibranium mining or something at the bottom of the ocean? Wasn't that kind of
I don't remember Wakanda Forever super well, but I think that there is a little bit. Yeah, so I would imagine that it's going to be some kind of like vibranium tools or something, which might be able to tie it back to Wakanda, blah blah blah. But like, I'm excited to see that. And also, I'm in Eternals is one of my favorite MCU movies of the last, you know, of the post Endgame era. So I'm excited to sort of circle back to that in some way, since we're never getting a sequel.
Okay. So next up, the Fantastic Four cast came out and they announced that this new movie, which I think is filming as of now, and it's supposed to be coming out next summer, has a new title and it's called The Fantastic Four : First Steps. What do you make of this title,
Ryan? I don't like being negative. This is so dumb. I wish, but just why? It didn't need a subtitle. The Fantastic Four is just fine. Like, and I also really liked that it was the Fantastic Four, right? Like, not just Fantastic Four. Like, it's like, hey, this is the Fantastic Four. This is what you've been waiting for. It's Marvel's first family. It's like, you didn't need the goofy subtitle. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like the first Thor was just Thor. The first Iron Man was just Iron Man. Like that all, I don't know. I really, and I think the first steps is the idea. Oh, cause it's like their origin story or whatever. Like, it feels so on the nose. Like,
I think it's partially their origin story and partially the fact that it's taking place in the 1960s, right? Like it's like the first steps of like heroism in a version of the MCU or something. I don't know. I kind of agree that I feel like they needlessly complicated it a little bit.
Don't get me wrong. It sounds like something you'd see on a comic book trade paperback. Like, it's like a collect. Oh, this was a storyline. Like, that makes it, but it doesn't, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with just, I really liked that it was just the Fantastic Four, and this just feels so unnecessary to me.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to try to keep either of these two words, first steps, involved in the subtitles of all the future movies, like the Spider-Man Marvel stuff, where like No Way Home, Homecoming, whatever, like just variations on the same thing. I don't know if they would be interested in doing that.
That at least made some thematic sense for that Spider-Man trilogy. Like, I don't know. This was the thing out of this Marvel panel where I was like, ugh, really? Like, you know, like, I don't know. I just was like, I'm not a big Fantastic Four guy, but I love the casting for this. I like the 60s setting. I like what I'm hearing. I love the Galactus casting. Like, so I'm like, I was into it, but yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about the biggest news out of the panel.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, so we know that Kang is dead now, or if not dead, then certainly wiped under the rug, because they announced at Comic-Con that there's going to be two more Avengers movies. We knew this already, but the titles were revealed. Avengers Doomsday, which is coming out in May of 2026, and then Avengers Secret Wars, which is coming out in May of 2027. Anthony and Joe Russo are back to direct both of these movies, as you and I talked about not long ago on the podcast. That was like officially confirmed. And now they have revealed who is going to be playing Dr. Doom in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the answer is Robert Downey Jr. And they explicitly said that he's going to be playing Victor Von Doom, not Tony Stark. So I don't really know. There's so much to talk about with this, Ryan, but like, what was your gut reaction when you saw this reveal?
I actually didn't register till today when I was reading more that the Russos had specifically said Victor Von Doom. Because my understanding was that it was going to be like a Tony Stark variant of some kind. And I'm somehow much more interested in it if it is actually Victor Von Doom and he just kind of looks like, you know, the hero from the sacred timeline, right? Like it's kind of a... Because I think what I'd said something to this effect on Twitter, but I think in a vacuum, Oscar winner Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom, one of the greatest comic book villains in the history of comic books, in a vacuum, that is an absolute slam dunk. We should all be cheering. The problem is the guy played Iron Man for 15 years and got the perfect send off in Avengers Endgame. Like it that colors it. And it's going to be hard to, but it's all execution dependent. Like I was convinced I was going to be upset at Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, sort of because I love Logan so much. And I was like, oh, well, how are they going to pull this off? And then, like, it kind of turned out the answer was, well, it's in a Deadpool movie and we make it work. And, like, so, but that's in a Deadpool movie. Like, you don't get that same benefit in an Avengers movie. Like, so right. I don't know. It is all execution dependent. Like, they have proved within this multiverse stuff that you can bring back these actors and not, like, sort of defile, you know, it has worked. Like, because I even felt that way about, you know, Loki sort of sacrificing himself in Avengers Infinity War and then kind of bringing him back for the Loki show. Like I felt like, well, his death in Infinity War meant something. Does bringing him back sort of destroy that? And to me, it didn't. So I think it's possible.
Well, crucially though, those are either the same characters or versions of the same characters. And this is Marvel doing something very different, which is bringing a major actor in as a separate role entirely. And like, they've had, you know, there have been other actors who have played multiple roles across the MCU, but never on this scale. Like,
no,
Downey's Dr. Doom is going to be the villain of the next two Avengers movies.
Yeah.
So he is effectively replacing Kang the Conqueror as Marvel's new big bad, basically.
Right, it's Thanos. It's Thanos to end the multiverse saga, like, but it's down. And I think here's my thing about it, is that, like, the MCU, dating back to the beginning, one of our biggest, I say our, like, fandoms collective gripes is the villains are often weak and deaths often mean nothing. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I would have been much more upset if they brought back Downey as Iron Man. Because it's like that death at Endgame really meant something. And so, but this is a more interesting way to try to bring him back. I'm still not super sold on it. Like it feels like safe in some way. Like it feels like, you know, going back to the Russos, going back to Downey, it feels like almost like an admission that things aren't working on some level. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's true. I don't know. Like there might be a really good creative reason to do this. But clearly it was going to be Kang and now it's not. So, you know, I don't know. I'm curious, where do you fall on it? Because I haven't really had the chance to talk about this with anyone. So it's just been rattling around in my head.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like my initial reaction is like the same reaction that I think a lot of people have, which is this seems really, really desperate to me. At the same time, looking at what happened with Deadpool and Wolverine and how successful that movie has been in just one weekend, it's so clear that this is going to be like a home run business decision. I have no idea about the creative part of it, but bringing an actor back to the fold who is as beloved as Downey is. I mean, just, I know that like the Comic-Con crowd is not representative of the entirety of the movie going public, but hearing the screams and shrieks of joy and like seeing people freak out in Hall H when Downey was revealed, I think a lot of people are going to be, if not that excited, then certainly curious enough to make these Avengers movies a very, very big deal when they come out. And that's exactly what Marvel wants, obviously. So I think it's very much like mission accomplished, regardless of how it pans out creatively. Just bringing these guys back and bringing the Russos back was enough for, it might have been enough just on its own for Kevin Feige and the team at Marvel to, if not right the ship, then at least get people committed to being interested in what happens in the Marvel universe until at least 2027. So
yeah, that it bought them on board.
Yeah, it bought them so much time by doing this. And now they have a handful of movies and then these big Avengers movies to convince people to continue to devote their time and interest to what they're doing at Marvel Studios. And like whether or not they're able to pull that off, as you said, execution dependent. So what the actual story is going to be, I think it's worth mentioning that which one is it, Marcus or McFeely, who's coming back to write?
I think it's McFeely, isn't it?
I'll have to double check that, but yeah, one of the writers,
because it's Stephen McFeely, not, yeah, I believe it's Stephen McFeely, because Christopher Marcus, okay. Is, I don't know why it's only one of them. That's one of my bigger questions right now.
Yeah, yeah, fascinating, because they, I think, have been working with the Russos on some of the non-Marvel stuff since Endgame, but now it seems like the screenwriters have kind of gone their separate ways, or at least for these projects. So,
or it might just be that Marcus got like another big, like, it might not be a bad thing, right? Like, let's not say that, like, oh my god, it's bad. Like, it just might be that Christopher Marcus got some other big gig, and who knows? Like, but we'll see. But I do find it odd that they're not working together.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think a lot of people will probably have questions about like whether or not the alchemy that came out of the scripts for the previous projects that they've worked on is going to be attainable by just one half of that writing duo, and we'll see how that actually pans out. But yeah, I don't know, like my sort of overwhelming feeling here is that this is like the ultimate safe choice in terms of just getting people interested again. And I'm having a hard time, because we don't have any details about what the approach is really going to be, I'm having a hard time kind of casting myself forward in time and imagining a scenario where I'm like, you know what, this was creatively the correct decision here, because the fact that he's playing a separate character and not Tony Stark and not a variant, as far as we know right now, like they literally said he's playing Victor Von Doom. I mean, you said it earlier, Ryan, like he's just a guy who looks exactly like Tony Stark, maybe from another universe or something, like, or maybe even from the same universe that
or maybe it's also that, like, they might, obviously they're going in uncharted territory here. It might be that he adopts a new name, right? Like he abandons the name Tony Stark at some point, and like there's an explanation for why he adopts the name Victor Von Doom, who knows. But like it we'll see. I one of the things I'm pretty bummed about is that Kang the Conqueror is a really great villain. And it sucks that he's just getting benched now, clearly. And it's not like they're going to revisit that anytime soon.
No.
You know, like that's kind of a big bummer in all of this. But, you know, that, I mean, obviously that wasn't their plan. So, you know, mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Yeah. And the other thing about casting Downey as Dr. Doom is I'm pretty sure that character is supposed to be like Romani or something, and he's never been that in any of the live action iterations of Dr. Doom that we've seen on screen. And to just cast Downey in that role again kind of removes some of the like cultural specificity from a character like that that could have been like a pretty cool opportunity to widen the canvas of storytelling that they have been doing at Marvel for all these years. And so this is just another way that they kind of missed the mark on that front. So again, like they did the calculus and they thought that this was worth, you know, all of these factors. They factored all this stuff in. They knew what they were doing. And they just said, well, this is the way we're going to go. So I guess it remains to be seen whether it all pays off. But I don't know if you have any other thoughts about this. But yeah, a lot of it's been just kind of swirling around in my head. And I just like, I was like, I don't know. I was like standing in the shower the other day and just kind of like looking at the ground and like shaking my head. Like, I can't believe they did this. You know? Like, it's just, I shouldn't be thinking about this stuff when I'm not at work. But this announcement was like so big and so sort of earth shaking for the MCU that it got me thinking about it outside of work hours. And I was like, ah, oh, man, this is kind of bothering me.
I care about this stuff. So for me, it's like, you know, I only do this for a living because I love it. So like, I will think about these things, you know, like me and my brother are sort of like always talking back and forth about it. And I think the one thing I will say is this. I think if they can get to Secret Wars and they can build some momentum out of like Deadpool and Wolverine and some of this other stuff, get to Secret Wars, obviously now there's built-in excitement. And I think by the time Secret Wars comes out, so that's 2027, you're going to probably get a little break. Then you get to 2028. Well, what does 2028 mean? That's 20 years since Iron Man.
Yep.
Obviously, once this multiverse saga is over, I think the thing that I've said for a long time is that I firmly believe Secret Wars is going to be a soft reset for the MCU, a soft reboot of some sort. At that point, I believe what you do is you then start recasting Iron Man, recasting Captain America, and you sort of like do get an actual fresh start, and then you kind of start the process all over again. And I actually think that's what we're heading towards. So if they can get there successfully, then suddenly you've given everyone a true proper goodbye and you just start over. And I wonder if that's not where we're going with this.
Yeah, I guess the argument is that they've already given Downey a perfect goodbye. Like, you can't get better send-off than what he got in.
Well, I mean goodbye in the sense that, like, if they do the Secret Wars version where, like, all of the universes collapse in on themselves, and they've kind of been setting that up in Loki with the TVA and stuff like that, that, like, all of the multiverse sort of collapses and what you're left with at the end is one universe, mm-hmm. and that's like what happens at the end of Secret Wars, then, well, whoever's dead is truly dead because you can't go find another variant in the multiverse, right? Like, that's, I think if you really squash it, that might be possible. And I think that's might be where we're heading. So
I think that's probably correct. And I don't know, maybe that would be, it might be too late at that point, but maybe that will be exactly what Marvel needs. Like, clearly this variant thing and like the multiverse thing and like what you're talking about knowing how, even though characters die, they don't really seem to stay dead kind of stuff. Like, I think that has infected audiences or sort of wriggled its way into audiences' minds in such a way that like, maybe this stuff doesn't feel as vital as it once did because of that fact. And if they are able to remove that factor from the storytelling and say, hey, this movie matters, like if a character dies, it's for real, maybe that'll get people more invested again, or maybe that'll get like the next generation invested again, or invested for the first time. But you know, we're coming up on like, we're basically at like 25 years of comic book movie dominance right now.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of stuff for people to be contending with, you know, for audiences to be contending with as they bring it into these movies. And I don't know, I don't envy Kevin Feige and his team for trying to do whatever they can to stay culturally relevant, but man, this decision just kind of it kind of broke my heart a little bit. But
no, I hear you.
We'll see. Maybe, you know, this will end up being an incredible thing. I'm sure Downey's going to be great in the movie because he's a great actor, and like, you know, I don't think he's going to be phoning it in or anything like that.
He's a phenomenal actor. Like, it's you know, him as, again, him as Doom in a vacuum is awesome.
Yeah, so we'll see. I would love to know what our listeners think about this. If you want to send us an email and let us know, you can do that at bpearson@slashfilm.com. bpearson@slashfilm.com. All right, you can find more about all the stuff that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. Reminder, we are not going to have an episode tomorrow. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And once again, send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all on Thursday.